I want to talk to you about Compact. Compact lets you build skills in minutes that help you sleep better, relax your body and mind, improve your performance and health. This device, which was designed by Dr. Melissa M. Root, assisted me during my flare, and I tell you that it did wonders for me. So this is what I want you guys to do. Go on over to www.compact.org. That's www.compact.org. Welcome to another episode of My Story, Living with Lupus. I'm your host, Susan Hendricks, and I'm so glad that you could join me on this crisp fall day of October 1st, 2022. I know I've been MIA, but I have a good reason, and you'll hear about it later in the show. Now, we're going to do a remix today, and then I'm going to tell you why I've been MIA and what I have planned for the future for my story, Living with Lupus. Now, you know what I want you to do? That's right. Grab your cup of coffee, grab your tea, and to my listeners late at night, you know, I just appreciate you. So grab your favorite glass of wine and come on and join the conversation right here on My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. You're going to hear a remix of Dr. Patricia Darr, the doctor who literally helped save my life with lupus. There is more to lupus than the five-letter word. With lupus, there exist underlying conditions. And what I attempt to provide you, my listening audience, is fact-based research information. I attempt to educate you on the importance of communicating with your healthcare providers. I even invite guests on so you can hear others' personal experience living with this illness. And most importantly, I share my experience, my ups, my downs. And today, my guest curriculum vitae is extensive. Her research articles have been published in the Journal of Rheumatology. She is an expert in this field. Dr. Josephine Darr, I would like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to join me here on the My Story, Living with Lupus podcast.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Lupus is a disease that presents very differently in everyone. So having this educational podcast to help patients, help their doctors and providers in determining which direction to go when they have symptoms will be very helpful. Education is very important. It's a powerful tool, and the more educated patients are, the more they can help themselves and help guide the doctor to the best treatment that will work for them. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Now, the topic for today is immune cell activation in severe COVID-19 resembles lupus. And how can lupus patients distinguish a lupus flare from the symptoms of COVID-19. And Dr. Dar, it was research done by Emory researchers who were observing activation of immune cells resembling acute flares of systemic lupus erythematosus. Now, most patients with lupus, as we know, experience different symptoms. No two individual symptoms are the same. But since we're in a pandemic, the majority of the questions from my listening audience has been, how do they distinguish a flare from the actual COVID symptoms?
Well, that's a very, very good question. I don't know if I'm going to have a complete answer for you today because we are still learning about COVID. Every day we learn something new and patients present with new symptoms. So in 5 years, we'll probably have a better answer. But for the time being, patients may have difficulty differentiating it. And a lot of times the symptoms are similar. If they are out of proportion to what you normally feel, or if it's new onset, particularly fever, shortness of breath, if you feel like you have flu-like symptoms, diarrhea, that's the time that you should call your primary and get a COVID test. The American College of Rheumatology recently came out with guidelines on what to do with medications if you have an autoimmune disease and you are either exposed or not exposed to COVID. What should you do? The current recommendations are that if you are on your lupus medications, that you continue to stay on them if you have not been exposed and have no new symptoms. So they don't recommend stopping your medications during the pandemic because we do not want lupus patients to flare during this pandemic. The patients that generally have a little bit worse outcome with autoimmune disease are the patients that have other comorbidities like diabetes or obesity or kidney disease or hypertension. If they do not have these comorbidities, they generally do okay. There are very specific guidelines regarding plasma milk. During the pandemic, patients were worried about taking Plaquenil, and or they were taking it because they thought it would help COVID. Plaquenil does not help COVID, so hopefully there will not be a shortage like there was when everyone was using it. They looked at Plaquenil. There was some concern for heart problems with Plaquenil. So Plaquenil has been used in our population of lupus patients for many years, and we really have not had problems with the arrhythmias that they were seeing in patients that they were using Plaquenil for. The protocol that they were using in the ICU was very high-dose Plaquenil, which we don't use, like 1,200 milligrams a day. And they were combining it with another antibiotic in the beginning of the pandemic called azithromycin. Those two combined, especially with the higher dose of Plaquenil, were causing what's called QT prolongation on the heart rhythm, which can lead to arrhythmias. When they looked at COVID patients that were retrospectively reviewed at the American College of Rheumatology meeting, this data was presented, it showed that Plaquenil alone did really not worsen heart problems in lupus. So it is safe. The bottom line is, it is safe to continue your Plaquenil at the current dose. We recommend not stopping your steroids or other immunosuppressions if you have not if you do not have COVID. So that is a recommendation that came up. For if you have stable disease, continue your medication. If you are newly diagnosed lupus, you can start Plaquenil. And if you are pregnant, continue your Plaquenil if you're on the Plaquenil. So those are for patients with stable disease who do not have infection. How do you know if you have an infection? That's a really good question. If you look for new symptoms, most lupus patients know themselves. They know when they flare. If you are not sure, call your doctor and go in and get a COVID test. You should continue to monitor yourself, take your temperature at home. If you, again, have a fever, cough, shortness of breath, or diarrhea, new onset or worsening, those are signs that you should go in to get a COVID test or call your doctor. We are seeing new symptoms every day, so if you just feel sick or you have the flu, that is when you should go in to see your doctor. Do not stop your medication unless you talk to your physician. So for the newly diagnosed, if you've had an exposure of COVID and you have lupus, the recommendations are to continue your anti-inflammatories, Plaquenil, and sulfasalazine. And you can, if you have been exposed, you can temporarily stop your immunosuppressants until you get a COVID test. So if you've been exposed, you should probably get a COVID test. Continue your Plaquenil and your anti-inflammatories, but hold your, mycophenolate mofetil, azathioprine, JAK inhibitors. Hold the immunosuppressants until you get a COVID test. In certain circumstances, your doctor may allow you to continue your IL-6 inhibitor, which is tocilizumab or Actemra, because that has been shown to be of help in patients with COVID infection. So call your doctor, hold your immunosuppressants, continue your Plaquenil and anti-inflammatories. If you have a documented COVID infection, continue your Plaquenil, but hold your immunosuppressant. So if you've been exposed or you are documented as having it, it's pretty much the same recommendation.
Now,
except for IL-6 inhibitors, which may be continued. Go ahead.
I believe in... I put it this way. I had to have a conversation with my family regarding if I ever come in contact with anyone with COVID and I become infected. They asked me, what do we do if that happens? And I had to explain to them, I said, you would have to take me to the hospital. You could not let me just sit here with that virus because I'm exposing not only you, but my condition will worsen. Do you think
that is?
Go ahead.
That is absolutely correct. If you have been exposed, some of the ERs are overburdened, so one option is to contact your primary. The primary may be able to bring you to, they have sometimes special centers where you can get evaluated and get a COVID test. It's kind of not the full ER, but an emergency room. Definitely if you're sick, come to the ER. But if you have been exposed, you should contact your doctor to find out where you can go get a COVID test and ask for a virtual visit. If you are sick, go to the hospital. So we don't want you going to the hospital if you're not sick, because when they looked at the data, patients with autoimmune disease that had COVID actually didn't do too badly unless they had comorbidities. So I think you have to assess situation and contact your physician or your rheumatologist first. Hey, I was exposed. What do I do? If you're not sick and you're doing fine, they may bring you in for a COVID test, but you will not get admitted unless you really have something like diarrhea or shortness of breath or fever. Definitely, if you have any of those symptoms, of flu-like symptoms, and you're sick, you should go to the ER. If you're not sick and you've been exposed, you can probably call your rheumatologist and ask where you can go in for a COVID test. They might send you not to an emergency room because that might not be safe if it's full of COVID patients. They might send you to an urgent care facility where you can get an x-ray and a COVID test really quickly rather than a full ER. So I think it's a case-by-case basis if you're not sick. If you're sick, just go to the ER. Does that sound like something that is reasonable to you?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is, because my family, they have really been worried. Now, the only time that the doctors want me to come out is if I have to have a doctor visit. If not, we do the virtual visit. So I'm really not out and about. And if I do have to go out, I wear two masks, gloves, and everything. So, yeah, but they were really worried about what do they do. Now, Dr. Dar, people have been, when it came out about the hydroxychloroquine use, there were some individuals with lupus who have stated to me that because they were on hydroxychloroquine, they're lucky because they haven't caught the virus. And I explained to them the virus does not discriminate on who gets it and who doesn't based on hydroxychloroquine. I told them that it was not enough fact-based research data that states that hydroxychloroquine is all of a sudden a miracle drug for this virus. How would you tell your patients about that misconception about hydroxychloroquine is saving the immune system from the virus?
So hydroxychloroquine is a good drug to treat lupus because it does have some immunomodulatory properties. So that's why we use it in lupus. It's not very potent, but long-term it helps control the disease. So that, controlling the disease, always results in better outcomes if you get an infection. So the real reason to take it is to control your disease so that you don't become sick, because when a virus gets into your system and you're sick, it wreaks more havoc. Does Plaquenil protect against COVID? No. Plaquenil controls your disease so that you are in a good state of health if you encounter it. The data has shown that Plaquenil does not protect against COVID. There was a lot of non-scientific chatter on the public news, and there was a research report that came out from Henry Ford initially that was biased, and the data was not analyzed in a way that would allow really to make that conclusion about that. So their data showed that Plaquenil was effective, but their data was biased, and there were so many problems with that study. And studies after that showed that Plaquenil did not make any difference in COVID. And at this point of time, because it's an evolving situation, remember, what we knew in March is very different than what we know now. A lot of people have had time to look back, gather the data, present it. In March, everything was being thrown out there rapidly without any scientific analysis. And the comment that Dr. Fauci made when all this started coming about Plaquenil is that we need to do randomized controlled trials to see if there's really any difference than patients that didn't get it. And he was right. Initially, people were using non-scientific methods and promoting it. And later it was shown, after looking back at all the hospitalizations of patients on Plaquenil, we were able to look back and say that it wasn't working. So our knowledge is different now, and it's important to take your medications to control your disease. But so that's what's protecting you when you from worse outcomes when you get the virus. It's not the drug Plaquenil itself. So you shouldn't think that you're protected just because you're on Plaquenil. You can still get the virus. It's just that you will be in a better state of health if you get it, and your outcome will be better if you're on Plaquenil.
Now, with
that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now, with the new vaccine that we've been hearing about on the news, I haven't done that much research on it. I've been sparsely going through it. But would it be safe for those of us with lupus to take, in your opinion? If you could give a yes or no opinion on that.
So I do work on, I've done some work on the HPV vaccine, so I have a little bit of experience looking at vaccines and lupus. Vaccines in general are safe and effective in lupus. You don't necessarily build up the same level of antibodies that a non-lupus patient has, but you can make enough antibodies to protect against infection. This is true in patients with lupus that are on immunosuppressives. The only situation where this might not be the case is if patients are getting rituximab, which prevents you from making antibodies in a very, very strong way. And so sometimes we recommend that before going on these drugs that you get vaccinated so that you have a higher chance of achieving a good level of antibodies to protect you against the virus. There are a couple different types of vaccines out there. One is protein-based. I think the two that are coming out are RNA vaccines, ribonucleic acid vaccines, and then there's a DNA vaccine. These vaccines are not live vaccines, so that in the sense that you cannot get an infection from the vaccines. These vaccines will trigger your immune system to make antibodies against COVID. In general, vaccines are safe and effective in lupus. There are case reports that sometimes lupus and autoimmune disease can be caused by vaccines. That's very rare. So I think that immunosuppressed patients should get this vaccine. However, specific studies have not yet been done in lupus to determine if the vaccine is 100% safe and effective, but you are probably better off getting the vaccine than getting exposed to COVID. So you have to look at the risk versus the benefit. And with all vaccines, when they first come out, the data on autoimmune diseases comes out later, because when you're doing FDA, when you're getting FDA approval for these vaccines, you're just immunizing regular folks that don't, you know, you're not asking them specifically if they have autoimmune disease. You're just asking for healthy volunteers. That's how the vaccine gets put on the market. After the vaccine's been out, you can look back on patients that were vaccinated that had lupus or do trials on lupus to look at it in a very specific way. That's just how the vaccine science is. I would recommend that autoimmune patients, not just lupus but rheumatoids, get the vaccine. The only vaccines that we hesitate to give are live vaccines, like the oral polio vaccine that we give to children. That's a live vaccine. We don't want lupus patients exposed to that, because if the vaccine has live viral particles in it, use like the flu vaccine or the pneumonia vaccine, and now the new shingles vaccine are all kill vaccines or vaccine particles, so they cannot cause a viral infection. So from that standpoint, they are safe to use. And so that's about all I can say. I would recommend that patients with autoimmune disease be the first people, one of the first people to get it, because they're at higher risk of contracting the virus versus someone with a normal immune system. So,
lastly, what else can those of us with compromised immune systems do from a medical standpoint to protect ourselves besides the mask and washing of the hands? Is there anything else?
Yeah, social distancing and avoiding public areas as much as possible. People should not be visiting you when they're sick. You shouldn't be going, you know, I would just not go out to eat at restaurants or go to events. Mainly just sequester at home. Have as few visitors as possible. Try to socialize using the computer and the phone. Try to stay socially connected so you don't get depressed. Avoid the gym. You know, have your groceries delivered. Wash everything that comes into the house. Wear two masks when you go out, and try if you have to, and try to make sure that's limited, and that you're going during periods where things are not crowded. It's just a matter of right now isolating and protecting yourself and avoiding exposure. You know, going out to a restaurant, you can get exposed because there may be other people that don't know they have an infection that are walking around. They may be 6 feet from you, but maybe 5 minutes ago they were in the place where you're sitting. So, you know, we're not really sure exactly how long this virus lives in the air. So it's best to avoid any kind of gathering. Try to avoid in-person contact when possible, except for people you're living with. For the people you're living with, if they're going out and about, you know, they should also kind of try not to get themselves exposed and bring it home. And sometimes that's hard when you have children going to school. So it's just a matter of just being smart about minimizing how much you go out and minimizing how many people come in direct contact with you. At this time, you can try to do your virtual visits rather than going into the doctor's office, because going into the doctor's office, again, means going out, sitting in the waiting room, et cetera. Even though we have precautions here, you know, it's still going out. So that's about all you can do. Take care of yourself, eat healthy, take your medication so you don't have a flare. Continue to get plenty of sleep and keep yourself well hydrated. Just the regular things of try to stay healthy. Do some gentle exercise at home, range of motion, so that you're not sitting all the time. Things like that, just to take good self-care of yourself.
All right. I really appreciate this, Dr. Dara. Thank you so much for being my guest on my Story Living with Lupus podcast. And I would love to have you back on later next year when you have the time.
Thank you so much for having me. Lupus is a very important disease, and it's a passion of mine. And I've been working to try to start some programs now where I am at St. John's, because it's desperately needed, and I give a lot of credit to the patients who have a lot of courage and are just trying to live through this pandemic behind the eight ball, so to speak. I know they're afraid, and I know they're becoming more socially isolated, so try to connect with Zoom on the with your friends and with support groups and the pandemic will be over soon. Just hang in there and don't give up and just continue to take care of yourself. Lupus patients are warriors. That's what they are. They're tough warriors. And after this pandemic, hopefully everything will be okay and everybody will make it through okay.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. You giving your expert advice to us. It's really appreciated, Dr. Dar. And for those who don't know, or if you listen to my previous podcast, this is the doctor that holds a special place in my heart because she helped me. Yes, I've mentioned you in previous podcasts. She helped me in a you helped me in a time where other doctors were telling me it was in my head, or I give you 5 years and that's it. But I found you, and you helped bring me through. And this is the doctor I tell everybody on my podcast. This is the doctor right here that I set. Any other doctor that I see, they have to have her standards. She takes her oath, the Hippocratic oath, to heart. And I truly, truly am grateful to you, Dr. Dar. You just don't know. It has been a rocky road for me. All the doctors that I have seen that did not meet up to your standards, I left. And until I found Dr. Sarakbi, who stated that he remembers you, and he talks about the notes, the detailed notes that you left on my chart. And I am eternally grateful for everything that you have done for me and for everybody from the United States all the way to Australia that hears my podcast. You guys go to my foundation website, and her information is listed on the foundation's website of the doctors we approve. And I just want to say thank you, Dr. Dar.
Well, I thank you also. I feel that God works through me, and I'm just a servant here trying to do my best. And I'm grateful that I have a chance to help people. I just am overwhelmed with what you said to me. I'm going to start crying. It's been for me a joy for me to get to know all these patients and take care of them and be part of their lives. So I thank them for letting me be part of their lives. And I hope you're doing well, and God bless you. And you're in my prayers. And I hope all the lupus patients just do fine and just hang in there until the pandemic's over and everything's going to be okay. So just be hopeful, and everything in the next year, hopefully things will be much, much better for everyone. Just hang in there. That's all I have to say. Look into your faith and your heart and just be strong.
Thank you so much. And you stay safe, Dr. Dar.
You too. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye. The Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendrix Foundation for Chronic Illness Awareness, giving hope and empowering those who suffer with chronic illness. See one, reach one, educate one to empower the masses. You can contact the foundation at 313-303-3030. 9217 or visit their website at https://cemphfoundation.com. This is a 501c3 organization. No one should live in lack. All contributions are tax deductible. Now to hear a little bit about what I've been doing and what I've been going through since my last podcast in August. Well, 3 weeks ago, I went to the pulmonologist and he said, "Susan, do you know that your left lung is severely scarred from the lupus?" I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "Do you know that the right side of your heart is weak?" I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "Do you know that your spine is degenerating?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We need for you to stay active in spite of lupus flares." And in turn, I said, "I'm already doing that." He stated that it's imperative that you stay active. I said, "I'm already doing that." And then I said, "Doctor," I won't say his name, I said, "Man does not know the time, the day, or the date that I will leave here. Only God knows that. And God has me. I'm in good hands. You're just assisting God in this process." He said, "Do you have any questions for me?" I said, "Nope." I continue to do what I have to do to stay active, regardless of my lupus. And so I got up. I said, "Oh, I'll see you next visit." So that's what I've been going through. I have severe scarring of the left lung, and also the right side of my heart is weak. And I know it was weak, and it was weak due to the heart attack and lupus attacking my heart. So it was no surprise. I think that I don't like to assume anything because we all know what assumptions people say about when you assume something. So it is my belief that he thought I didn't know. That's why I tell you guys it's so very important that you get copies of your labs, your x-rays, your MRIs, your scans, everything, and go over them so you won't be hit with any surprises and that you can ask questions. So that's what I've been going through with my health issues. Now, to get to the second part, coming up in November, I'm planning on switching things around. Even though the title of this podcast is My Story Living with Lupus, but it is a well-known fact that lupus can cause underlying conditions such as hypertension, heart problems, lung problems, eye problems, and so forth. Now, many of you know that I have a nonprofit, the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation. And my nonprofit is in partnership with OWH, Office on Women's Health. I am in the planning stages of bringing guests on from the Office of Women's Health, which is connected with the government, to talk about hypertension and other problems that are affecting many communities, especially underserved communities. So in November on to 2023, I am devising to have programs, online programs, which is free of charge for you to learn about hypertension and other chronic illnesses with the help of OWH. So you can look forward to that. And that's about it. But I haven't forgotten about the lupus community. Also, men who have lupus. I have not forgotten about you guys also. I plan on devising an online program that will help assist you to cope better with lupus. Stay with me and we'll be right back with another remix. And I'm back. I'm going to start off talking about sad. Sad is seasonal affective disorder, seasonal depression, seasonal mood disorder. You know, we may hear a lot during the wintertime of people talking about how their mood changes and how some people can become depressed during this time of the year. Well, seasonal affective disorder, SAD for short, is a type of depression that comes and goes with the seasons. It usually starts in the late fall and early winter and goes away during the spring and summer. Some people do have episodes of depression that start in the spring or summer, but that is a lot less common. And do you really think it's because some of us are stuck in the house and we can't go out normally like we do in the spring and summer, and we're not getting that vitamin D, the sun hitting our skin, the sunshine, and I believe this, the sunshine makes us feel better, happier, joyous. Well, the symptoms of SAD include sadness, gloomy outlook, feeling hopeless, worthless, and irritable, loss of interest or pleasure in activities you used to enjoy, low energy, difficulty sleeping or oversleeping, carbohydrate cravings and weight gain, thoughts of death or suicide. SAD is more common in women, young people, and those who live far from the equator. You are also more likely to have SAD if you or your family members have depression. The exact causes of SAD are unknown. Researchers have found that people with SAD may have an imbalance of serotonin, a brain chemical that affects your mood. Their bodies also make
too much melatonin, a hormone that regulates sleep, and not enough vitamin D. The main treatment for SAD is light therapy. The idea behind light therapy is to replace the sunshine that you miss during the fall and winter months. You sit in front of a light box every morning to get daily exposure to bright artificial light. But some people with SAD do not respond to light therapy alone. Antidepressants and talk therapy can reduce SAD symptoms either alone or combined with light therapy. So if you have been feeling seasonal affective disorder, talk to your doctor about it so they can help you figure out what is best. Well, I should say, what plan of treatment is best for you. Stick with me. I'll be right back.
You know, life is not a straight line. Life comes with twists, turns, defeats, wins, and tragedies. Life is not a one-size-fits-all. It comes with twists, turns, and it's our attitudes that determine how we'll make things work out in this life cycle. Now just listen, you remember growing up as a child and you had no worries at all, no rent, you didn't have to worry about food, clothing, heat, lights, gas, or water. That was left on our parents. Now, my parents used to tell me, don't be so eager to grow up. Because it's a totally different world out here. And I truly understand what they meant by that. Oh, how I wish they were here now. And you know, I sometimes catch myself talking to a friend and I would say, oh, if my mother and father was here, I wouldn't have to worry about anything. And laugh. But you have to, how can I say this? Well, I tell you like this. You know our life plan. After we graduate college, we'll get that perfect job, have a house, the husband, two or three kids, and would be able to travel the world. That's what they taught us in school. They didn't tell us about the real world out here, especially when you're hit with an illness. Lupus, like any other chronic illness, is devastating to some, but it's all in the attitude that you take to deal with it. You know, attitude is everything. Attitude is what separates us. Yeah, believe it or not, attitude is what separates us. You know, we can sulk
for 15 minutes, but after that 15 minutes, slap yourself and say, get up. Don't stay down. Keep it moving forward. A positive attitude can help us overcome and get through the tough moments in life. You see, we are supposed to celebrate the good, but also celebrate the bad also. Praise yourself through the bad times also, because storms don't last always. Keep the faith. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host for My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. I'll see you again in November. Have a safe, positive, and oh so blessed weekend. And by the way, be the light in someone's life today. You never know what another person is going.